Hey, Mugwarts. Welcome to Wormwood and Witches,
a podcast all about the strange and unusual.
Tally
and Erica invite witches and weirdos from all backgrounds to the conversation of the mystic and divine.
Come fly with us on this journey as we explore ritual, magic, and the peculiar.
Hosted by Anchor, you can find us on all of your favorite streaming platforms.
You can also find us on Facebook at Wormwood and Witches Podcast or Instagram at Wormwood and Witches.
Hello, Mugwarts, and here we are back with an Erica-centric mini-sode. So we have one more after this with Tally, and then we are finally back with a new season. So hopefully we will have some good things coming up on the docket. There'll be a couple of interesting stays that hopefully end up in a ghostly manner that end up in stories. So we'll see. So today I want to talk about a few things that I recently discovered that I think will be of interest. So especially as we get into spooky season. So just getting into it, we're going to talk about amulets or talismans or charms. So I'm going to cover quickly three charms that I found out about. One kind of begot the ball rolling, if you will. So, but first, I think I'm going to talk about onting-onting, which is a Filipino word for amulet or a charm. And so it is a Filipino system of magic and sorcery with these talismans or amulets or charms, if you will. And it's kind of whatever is afflicting you or the individual at that time. And sometimes they're jewelry that is to be worn, or sometimes it's an object. So it depends on what the affliction is. It depends. And sometimes there is an accompanied book of magic incantations, which sometimes need to be read on a specific day that is attached to that particular amulet to get the full power and benefit. But it's also to help remove hexes and exorcise evil spirits. Caveat, I just watched The Pope's Exorcist and woof. That was not a good one in my opinion, but I am slightly intrigued about the books that father particularly wrote, but I digress. So, one thing that I did find interesting is that the variety of places one can kind of get these amulets or talismans. So like I said, sometimes they can be a piece of jewelry, sometimes they're an object. One said that there is an enchanted stone that came from the sky that is a fang left by a lightning strike, or a drop of liquid from the heart of a banana tree at midnight, which if it came from the banana tree, sometimes you would ingest these things. Sometimes it's some clothing with magical words inscribed on it. Or perhaps sometimes enchanted mud. So I found it interesting that apparently other methods of obtaining these talismans is by getting the liquid that is drained from an exhumed body of an unbaptized child or aborted fetus, or offering food and drink to the spirits in a cemetery at midnight on Holy Wednesday or Holy Thursday. So I thought that was a little interesting. I also found interesting that apparently Filipino freedom fighters wore these onting-ontings during battle against Spaniards and the Americans. And you can see recent examples throughout history of these being reflected as well. And again, like I said, there are subtypes. So there are certain talismans that make your skin invulnerable to cuts and cuts, sword slashes, anything of that nature. Some supposedly nail down entities to keep them from moving. Others supposedly turn the wearer invisible against their enemy or blind them, which I think is pretty cool. And others can apparently deflect bullets. So I found that interesting, talking about that talisman. And if you haven't checked out, I guess, again, besides hearing about one of these talismans, we have a, I guess you can call it a talisman, a pouch on our TikTok/Instagram. If you need aid in kind of discerning decisions. So if you need your own talisman, you can go to that TikTok and go to that Instagram reel and figure out how to make your own talisman or charm, if you will. The next one that I want to talk about is one that I know that I had as a kid. Some of you may have also had them. We were just talking about this actually on the girls' backpacking trip, that whether they were real or not, I'm sure some of them may have been made of faux fur, but are rabbit's foots. So I'm sure most of us know that rabbit feet are like the rabbit's foot on the keychains are good luck charms. And so it's like, where does that come from? So various places all across the world, to be honest. I thought it was more interesting, a couple key notes about this, is that where and mostly like how you get the rabbit's foot. So a number of folklore talks about that the particular foot sometimes should be specifically the left hind foot of a rabbit, which was shot or otherwise captured in a cemetery. Some sources say that rabbits need to be taken by the full moon or the new moon or on a Friday or a rainy Friday or the Friday the 13th, anything that apparently has Friday in the name. And some say that the rabbit should be shot with a silver bullet. And unfortunately, apparently, some say that the rabbit's foot should be taken while it's alive. I am so sad for all these rabbits if that was actually the case. So the interesting thing that I found out about this is that the reason why it's particularly a rabbit's foot is that, and I remember actually saying this in the Vavavitch movie, if you've seen that witches shapeshift apparently into rabbits, and they are considered good omens. So I thought that was fairly interesting as well. And that also one of the sources is, so why a rabbit, is that the childhood story from the 1900s of Old Br'er Rabbit talks about the story that says the South was being tormented by a 500-year-old witch who had cursed the people and animals to starve, and that others called on clever Br'er Rabbit for help, and the rabbit decided that he was going to sabotage the witch's skin when she shed it before going out for her evil nightly business. Little do you all know that I actually do all my evil bidding specifically at night. So the rabbit took a basket of hot peppers, mashed them up, and filled the witch's skin with them. And when she returned, she put her skin on and was paralyzed from the burning. and the animals captured and burned her, putting an end to her reign of terror and making the rabbit's foot a excellent protection against witches and evil and good luck. So I thought, yeah, that's really interesting. Who would have thought? So, and also that there are stories of rabbits who are injured at night when the same injuries on local women the next day, like appearing on the same area for the women, revealing them to be witches. I wonder if that's maybe in the Malleus Maleficarum that we talked about earlier. I'll have to go check into that because apparently I got some books from my friend and I did not realize that that is actually one of them. So I'm like, oh, I actually have the book to reference. How crazy is that? I don't have to go through 400 pages online. So yes, the idea that rabbits being witches or familiars of witches meant that their feet became a far powerful piece for their evil, apparently. So the last thing that I want to talk about, which is what brought this all on, I learned this from another wonderful podcast called The Goddess, the Witch, and the Womb. So I highly recommend that one. That shout out to that podcast. This is where I learned it from. It's got a terrible name. It's not what one thinks. And it is at the Whitby Museum in North Yorkshire, England. And I'm getting all this information from them that the Hand of Glory, which is a mummified, severed human hand, the one that the Whitby Museum actually has was discovered in the earliest 20th century, hidden behind the wall of a thatched cottage in Castleton by a stonemason and a local historian, Joseph Ford. And they immediately identified it from the popular stories as the Hand of Glory. So what is, and it was given to the Whitby Museum in 1935, so just so you get a little background. So what is a Hand of Glory? Well, it's not what one of us all think that it is. So it's supposedly a hand that is specifically the right hand of a felon who was hung from the gallows. And people would go and apparently specifically cut this right hand off and like pickle/preserve this hand, and that they would incorporate human fat within the hand and kind of like clench the fingers, and sometimes I've seen them potentially also with the fingers relaxed and open, but the fat was made into a candle and kind of put in between the fingers so that they would light the candle. And the reason why they did this was based on to take advantage of suspecting folks, unfortunately. So it was for kind of ill intentions. And that there's at least a story from the Spittle Inn on Stainmore in 1797 and the other Oak Tree Inn from Lemming, supposedly in 1824, talk about this tale that on one dark night when all was shut, there was a tap at the door of a lone inn in the middle of a barren moor. The door was opened, and there stood without, shivering and shaking, a poor beggar, his rags soaked with rain, and his hands white and cold. He asked for lodging, and it was cheerfully granted to him. There was not a spare bed in the house, but he could lie on the mat before the kitchen fire and welcome. So this was settled, and everyone in the house went to bed except the cook, who from the back kitchen could see into the large room through a pane of glass let into the door. She watched the beggar and saw him, as soon as he was left alone, draw himself up from the floor, seat himself at the table, extract from his pocket a brown, withered human hand, and set it upright in the candlestick, and then anointed the fingers, and applying a match to them, they began to flame. Filled with horror, the cook rushed up to the back stairs and endeavored to arouse her master and the men of the house, but all was in vain. They slept a charmed sleep, so in despair she hastened down again and placed herself at her post of observation. She saw the fingers of the hand flaming, but the thumb remained unlit because one inmate of the house was awake. The beggar was busy collecting the valuables around him into a large sack, and having taken all he cared for in the large room, he entered another. On this, the woman ran in and seized the light, tried to extinguish the flames, but this was not so easy. She poured the dregs of a beer jug over them, but they blazed up the brighter. As a last resource, she caught up a jug of milk and dashed it over the four flames, and they died out at once. Uttering a loud cry, she rushed to the door of the apartment the beggar had entered and locked it. The whole family was aroused and the thief easily secured and hanged. So maybe you also, from the story, get another hand of glory since they were stealing. So yes, this is a mummified hand and kind of a candle also, all at the same time, or a candle holder. Very interesting that one was actually found in the, I guess, archaeological record, if you will. And the women at the Goddess, the Witch, and the Womb talk about mostly using this, not a real human hand. I should note that. There are wonderful stores that if you would like to utilize this talisman in your practice, that there are candle molds, not real human hands. Do not suggest one. I would be very concerned if there were people just hanging out in the middle of the street. I don't even want to go there. And so do not recommend cutting anybody's hands off to make a candle. You can easily find them on Etsy or a occult store or witchcraft store that is of your choosing. If you want to, the ladies at the Goddess, Witch, and Womb talk about using this for guidance. And this is kind of also my interest for that talisman that I made of making big decisions and stuff like that on our Instagram of like, maybe I would totally use one of these hands of glory to just kind of connect with my ancestors and help me get some clarity on some things. So that is all I have in a quick nutshell of strange and curious talismans for you. Please research these further, and I'm curious as to what you all find out. So I hope to see you or hear from you all soon, and get ready for another wonderful season. And I'm so ready for spooky season as well. So I guess until next time, keep gazing into the unknown. Bye.